Welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast, philosophies and strategies for an elevated life. I'm Tom.
And I'm Paulie. We interview world authorities and experts in health and wellness optimization, psychology and spirituality.
And we don't mind chewing the fat either, just the two of us.
If you feel like being part of a casual yarn about self-awareness and growth, pull up a chair because the coffee's still hot.
We'll see you on the inside.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Body Meets Mind podcast. This is Paulie and Tommy. It's lovely to see you, my friend.
I know it is because, it's lovely to see me, and I appreciate that. Thank you, mate. Always a pleasure from my side as well.
Today, we have a really special guest on the show. Her name is Elisa Caro, and Elisa is a sexual engineer. She has been spending and devoting a great deal of her life in developing practices to cultivate sexual health in the individual and in relationships for a long time. Elisa, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Very, very excited to have you on the show and discuss all the incredible topics that we have rattling around in the back of our brains that I'm sure you have some really colorful, incredible answers to.
Yeah, let's dive deep some into these hot topics, which, you know, is often so taboo talking about sexuality. Mm. So it's a pleasure to just speak openly about it. And
Oh, wonderful. Well, I want to start at the origins, being that you are now a sexual engineer, but you were a civil engineer. And someone tells me that, sexual empowerment and sexual play would not be a massively hot topic in the civil engineering world. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, it would be fair. I actually felt when I was working as a civil engineer and also studying, I had to shut down a bit of my, sexual energy and femininity, moreover, to be a bit more in my masculine. And I was surrounded by a lot of men, and also in my work, I had to be quite firm and spend a great deal of the time, up in my brain, doing some, designing and calculating things. And so, yeah, definitely have kind of pendulate on the other side of the spectrum now and just embrace more my femininity. And it was just something missing when I was working as a civil engineer, and I felt kind of out of my soul mission, kind of like I haven't come here to do this. That just doesn't feel my call.
Take us to that time where you were working in civil engineering and you realized that there was a moment where something really, really integral was missing from your life, and you made that transition. When did that happen, and when did this awakening come in you?
Yeah, so I remember kind of driving to work and feeling quite unhappy and almost like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to. And then I was thinking, but it's a good job, it's like, it's a great firm, I am well paid, like I'm doing what I, studied. Like, why am I feeling like that? But there was just this deep dissatisfaction. And like, I just don't want to go there. Like, to the point that I'm like, I hope I have an accident so I don't need to go to the office. That was like the moment which I was like, oh my God, that's not okay.
Yeah.
But then I think it was also my body a little bit screaming. Like, I started to have tonsillitis all the time. Like, literally once a month.
Wow.
Like, what is happening? And I started to have like a bigger cyst in my ovaries. So I felt my body as well was screaming. And, Western medicine wanted to take out my tonsils as they were not functioning properly. And also maybe have a surgery if needed on my ovaries, kind of like keep an eye on that, or having contraceptive to kind of, make sure that wouldn't get bigger. And yeah. And in that moment, it was just, I guess the messages as well too loud. And my family is a quite open-minded. So actually my mom was like, you're not booking any surgery. You're going to visit dad and he was living in a tantra community. I tried to heal through natural remedies, give us 6 months. And if in these 6 months, nothing changed, then you might book your surgery. I think some, like, I'm seeing you unhappy. I think something is not functioning in the way you're living your life.
Love that.
That. And all the rest is history, because that blew my mind. And I was like, whoa. And I started to discover so many things and realizing how my sexual energy, and I thought I was having a great sex life. You know, I thought I had like quite amazing sex. I used to, you know, have clitoral orgasm and quite a high sex drive. But then I kind of realized how much more there was to the picture, like how, you know, how much more pleasure I could have tapped in through learning about it. And I discovered women have 7 different type of orgasms and everyone can have that. And I'm like, what? I thought that women, you know, like I was just born that way. Maybe I have more nerve endings on my clitoris and that's just the way I'm wired. And then I saw as well so many kind of radiant, very magnetic, you know, women, and I felt like I want a bit of that. And so they helped me understand how, you know, by kind of like channeling and harnessing that energy, you can become more radiant and more empowered. And so it kind of really opened a whole new world for me. And I decided to, yeah, to dive deep into it and learn it all. And actually, you know, I heal not through sexual practices. Like tantra is very big, so I did a lot of like breath work and yoga, and different things. But then all the sexual side as well was very intensing. So I also dive deep into that. And yeah, I kind of like felt, yeah, I never looked back. I was like, wow, this is so mind-blowing. And I feel like the world has almost, you know, I feel like would be a better, more in service to the planet if instead of designing houses and, you know, buildings, I actually support people discover this and become a bridge to uncover the potential of sexuality.
Brilliant. Yeah, I really love that. Hey, Eliza, one of the things you mentioned before in the beginning of your story, and I really appreciate you letting everyone in on that story. That was wonderful. Something that I'd love to have you elaborate on. You said in the very beginning, working as a civil engineer, obviously being in the STEM fields, it's very kind of male dominated. You know, you're in your brain a lot. You're really having to kind of harness that masculine energy to do what you needed to do. I've noticed this a lot, because I work as a counselor. I've noticed this a lot, with working with some of the women that I have in private practice, and they want to step into their feminine, you know, or more of their feminine, shall we say, as you said before, but they feel like to do that, they'll have to kind of let go and let others lead. And one of the things that I'm really interested in is that dichotomy of masculine and feminine leadership, and feminine leadership being a different way to lead, but still being a very wonderful and empowering way to lead. Is that something that comes up a lot when you're working specifically with women who want to lead, but not from that masculine energy?
Yeah, a lot of the time when there are like women in power or in a leadership position, they have been kind of taken the example from a more masculine perspective. And as we work together, they find their own, you know, their own way, which often might be a tiny bit less pushing, for instance. More maybe guided by, you know, an inner knowing or some intuition or some like balancing as well from the mind and the body. So almost like feeling sometimes the answer in the body, what's like the next step that I have to do, and really giving more space to the heart and body to speak and lead from a more integrated, integrated way within themselves. And that kind of helped them not feeling burnout. And also having like their decision in alignment, not only with like what the mind would say is the best decision, but also what the heart feel, what the body feel. And they feel a lot happier because often is more in alignment with who they are and is less draining when they think they need to lead in a way that is not conducive of their personality way of being, then, you know, it just doesn't work that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to know a little bit more about how you develop and harness that, you know, balance in your integration between masculine and femininity and how it actually was manifested through your sexual practice and your study of, you know, tantra, et cetera. How did that develop within yourself? And then subsequently, how have you been able to kind of teach those around you as well?
Yeah, so it's a bit, it's an ongoing journey for like me as well as a business owner, you know, like I don't only work with clients one-on-one or create the content. I also, you know, lead a team. That is someone that is in charge of the marketing, someone as a VA, the videographer, the editor is doing some writing and, you know, probably a PR agency will come soon into the team. So, you know, there's much more than me doing the thing. And definitely also in my own life, I need to balance, you know, the masculine skills, which I also feel very grateful that my study and my work supports me to have, because I can see how they're a key part of my success. Not burning out, not feeling disconnected. And so having a balance of the two and kind of giving space to both of them to have an ongoing conversation. And kind of like, for instance, I realized, and I'm just going to own that. That's a bare minimum that we can build on top of that. But 2 hours of self-care a day is a bare minimum. So that's a priority. So if, you know, I will have my yoga practice and meditation most days, and then sometime it's love making, sometime it's going to dance, sometime it's having a run, sometime it's singing. So like self-care would look different for how I feel. And also everyone is different. So, you know, I wouldn't say to everyone, you need to sing as a part of your self-care. you know, everyone find their own way. It's definitely part of my. And just making sure, you know, that I carve those time into my calendar. And that's a priority. And, you know, at times I would like things to be done better. And I know that if I work an extra 2 hours, that better could be obtained, but I'm giving up on my wellness. So, all right, we have a launch tomorrow. Wellness is going to be put on the side for today. We don't have a launch tomorrow. Who cares? My body is as important as things getting a bit better. I'm going to drop in, quality right now, and, you know, making sure that I nurture that quality within me, because otherwise, I know will drain. So it's a bit of an ongoing conversation that is not like that I'm flexible, but that both parts need to have a space and need to be heard for that to not, you know, going to, oh, I'm just going to take care of myself and not do anything. Also drivenness to not, you know, forget that I have a body that needs to be nurtured and a heart and an energetic body and a soul that I want to connect on a daily basis. So yeah, giving space to both. Did that answer your question, or do you?
No, that was perfect, Elisa. In fact, it was reminding me of a conversation Tommy, you and I had maybe last week. It was about perspective and achieving goals, and it's always easier with the rational mind to think about if I devote those 2 hours to being productive in a rational sense, I can get more shit done. But ultimately, if you take a vacation from this rational doing and really simply being and taking care of nurturing your body, your mind, your soul, and then coming back to these tasks, that you come back with a completely different perspective. And you know, paradoxically, you actually get more stuff done because you have a fresh perspective on what you're doing.
Yeah, even like now that you're talking, it sparked something in me that one thing that I also support my clients when, you know, they're like in creativity or leading position, or I would often suggest, you know, as you said, to utilize the power of their like sexual energy and be more in the flow, to take less time, to spend more time in their genius so that it takes less time to get those tasks done. And for instance, like, you know, my partner Flo would be like sitting and writing and just get, after a while, it will get in the flow. I just cannot do that. So for instance, write a blog or things like that. I would go for a hike. I would make love. I would be in the bath. I would record myself. Like, I would actually move my body, move my sexual energy, and then record myself like saying something. Or I have a vision or I have an idea for a, you know, for a blog, for a, for anything, for a post or even for an online course. And then I would have my editor, like, you know, typing it up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone is a little bit different, and really, also not staying fixated in how like flow needs to look like or how tasks need to be done, but be in the flow. And I'm like, all right, babe, I'm gonna develop a new online course. And then he see me going out. And I was like, you're going to work? Yes, I am. I'm going to nature, feel nature, move my sexual energy in nature, and then record my ideas that will come from that genius.
That's so cool. It's so important to know yourself, though, isn't it? And like know how you work and in doing what you want to do. What I'm really interested in, Eleazar, is what are some of the kind of the major pain points and ailments that people come to you with? And what are some of the kind of general things that you see?
So from male bodies, often would be, I'm struggling with controlling my ejaculation, or, you know, and that would be sometime I come before, you know, if they're attracted to female bodies before penetration, or within a minute or two, within 10 minutes, some people would say within 15 minutes, but that's too soon for me. So that would vary, right? Some addiction with pornography that have caused them to lose connection with themselves and others. Or it would be some difficulties, anxiety of like intimacy and finding it hard to have strong erection or to keep strong erection throughout the sexual experience. And these kind of like could be some of the pain points, or sometimes when coming out of a long-term relationship, like maybe after a divorce, they are feeling, you know, the insecurity of coming out and dating again after maybe not even having sex for 5 or 10 years. And so kind of like feeling that insecurity of, you know, do I know how to do this and want to learn new skills? And so I would have two sets of clients. One could be with problems, like I just give you an example of some main problem for men. And or it could be, you know, they are high achiever, they have like very successful business, very happy in their relationship, and they're like, I learn I can have 10 energy orgasm when I make love with my wife. Can I do that? I'm like, yeah, we can do that. So sometimes the problem is like, oh, I just like, I understood that there is more to it. And in general, they're like high achievers. So they're like, you know, after the successful business, good relationship, they're like looking at other areas, right? And so, you know, that's a pop up with sex, and they're like, I want to take it to the next level. Like, so maybe they don't have any big issue, but they're like high achiever. They want to have achieve high, like, you know, playing bigger as well in the sex realm.
You continue your thought. Sorry.
And then there is, you know, female would be, for instance, low libido, like feeling very disconnected from their sexuality, like almost is frozen. Would be being the head where they make love and finding it hard to feel pleasure during sex. Could be even vaginismus and like having pain during penetration, then like with touch on the external part, and, you know, or it could be also feeling really a lot of blockages, almost like if they just go through the motion, you know, they act like a porn star, or they act like they thought they should behave, but that just doesn't make it for them. And and they want to understand their sexuality because they don't know their bodies. They, you know, they can have an orgasm, but like they feel how it's just not really doing it for them fully.
Mm.
And so, yeah, those could be some of the issue that women might be struggling with.
Mm. I'm really intrigued to know the way you see sexual energy and what, how you really define sexual energy and how that kind of facilitates, obviously, the obvious question would be how that facilitates a healthy sexual relationship, either with yourself or with your partner, but also how sexual energy plays its part in everyday life, how it can play its part in being, you know, more alive and awake in work or play or sport or what, you know, being generally productive. There was a lot of questions there, but go for it.
that's Paul's sexual energy coming out.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, sexual energy is like a vital force that we have and that can be really channel and harness and supported to move through us rather than repressed. So I see how the shame that is inbuilt in our society, and you know, we might be thinking, no, I don't think so, but I bump into this all the time. I cannot do ads. I just can't do ads because anything around sexual health is like a no. Or even like a simple payment gate, Stripe was like, I'm sorry, but due to the content of your online courses, we do not want to support your business.
Oh, and my God.
And there's no no nudity in my courses.
No way.
It's like, I'm simply talking about sexual topic. And it's like, no way. Stripe is not.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
So like, you know, even if we want to say, no, it's not there, it's there. Like to the point that, you know, a normal payment gate would never do any problem with other industry. But sexual education is like out of the, you know, thing. So there is like this embedded shame and taboo and secretiveness. And these really block our sexual energy and keep it a little bit trapped. And that could look like it can get like a bit more compulsive. And here there are, you know, sometime men would feel like all this build up and do not know how to process it. And because, you know, it feels like they need to push it down, then it will come with that compulsiveness. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they might watch, you know, porn in a compulsive way to release stress or things like that in a way that, you know, doesn't feel really really good for them, not that expansive. And sometimes it can get a bit frozen and then we feel disconnected from that like energy within us. But when we allow that chi, that prana, that vital force to run through us, it can really enhance our pleasure. And, you know, before I mentioned, for instance, you know, a high achiever that will say, I want to have 10 energy orgasms while I make love with my wife. It's like, let's do that. You know, let's learn, let's help you understand how to have energy orgasms. So like it can enhance our sex life and our pleasure. And as you were mentioning earlier, it can also be in support of our everyday life. So let me give you some examples. So when, you know, a artist, or someone that needs to work with their creativity. If you let that sexual energy move through you, like the example I was giving to you earlier, it supports the creativity because it's also our a creative force, creative energy. And also how it works in the brain is that it's kind of shut down the part of the brain that is more judgmental and like open up a different kind of like connection in the brain. So a little bit like psychedelic, of course, like in less intensity, but that's how it's activating the brain. That's why if you try to do math when you're highly aroused, it's a bit harder because that just that part of the brain gets a bit shut down. So you need to think a bit like more you know, but if you think of like creative stuff or new ideas can pop up much more if you let that energy flow through you. So that's what's, you know, happening in the brain. And so let's imagine that the artist, when they feel blocked, moving that sexual energy, making love with themselves or with their partner, or even dancing and breathing and letting that sexual energy move and then going and do their magic would be easier. If, you know, like so many of my clients really struggle to speak up, and as they learn how to speak up in the bedroom, you know, naked and so exposed, they learn how to speak up with their boss and ask for the pay raise they wanted. And yeah, so that's cool. They're harnessing, you know, that like power. When someone feels like a lot sexier, you know, there is a sense of like more confidence that come with it. And so it's just how you walk in, you know, your everyday life. Like sometime I had some women coming and say, you know, I wanted to work with you because of how you walk around. Like such this like kind of like relaxation about it, but also kind of confidence.
Yeah,
that is so, you know, appealing to me because I want that. And you know, it really, yeah, it really doesn't end there, because even if you want to have more energy, like for instance, for male bodies, when they have a ejaculation, when they do ejaculate, there is a bit of sexual energy that leaves their body. So, you know, you feel a bit more tired. And so if you learn how to let that energy circulate, and not necessarily all the time like ejaculate or have the clitoral orgasm for women, then you will also have more energy for your day to day. And so it's really like so supportive. And I personally also really like to use it as therapy. So in the midst of it, in the like peak of my orgasm, that's often when I process things. And like, you know, you can use psychedelic if you have that like intention of channeling that energy for that reason. That could be also used for healing. And when I work with clients, I often tell them, when I give a tantric massage, which is full body massage, including as well the genital, if they're open to receive that, if they're what like they're looking for, you know, that things might come up, like old trauma, things might come up because we are moving sexual energy as well for the healing. So what is in between might pop out for being healed. And so it can be also used as a spiritual practice and as a healing practice. So sexual energy really can be a magical tool that we is underestimate. And of course, the first step is unlocking it. So if it's a bit like repressed or not fully harnessed, then the first step is like learning how to let it move through you fully. And then, you know, the second step, you kind of can harness and channel that energy in the direction most helpful for you.
That's so cool. So so I've got loads of questions at the moment. This is it's so interesting. So before, you were talking about how for men, looking at porn compulsively or whatever it is kind of like akin to not being able to deal with that energy. So they kind of let it out. It kind of speaks, I've said to you before that I can speak French, petit mort in French is little death. Sorry, my computer's doing weird things. So that's interesting. You just kind of like, it almost, to me, based on what you were saying before, speaks to this kind of quick shutdown that you can get from ejaculation. When you're working with men and they're looking to perhaps be able to kind of contain or hold space for that energy without releasing it metaphorically and literally, what are some of the practices that you give them?
Yeah, so it would be to reduce the number of ejaculation and to let energy flow through them, because otherwise if it stays stuck, then it creates frustration, it creates compulsive thinking, so they need to move it. And so the first thing we'll learn how to move it. Otherwise, if they just like stop ejaculating, that would feel like a bit of a pressure there that I don't know how to handle. One of the best practices to do that is to self-pleasure. So to masturbate, but do it in a conscious way. And it would be like while moving energy upwards. And there are a lot of ways that we can do that. I might share like one or two tools so that people, you know, are listening to this, that can just start in practicing already. And it would be to use the breath. So breathing deeply. Often when we self-pleasure, we tend to hold the breath or do it more shallow. So breathing quite deeply as they do self-pleasure. making sound on the exhale and moving their bodies as well. So not kind of like hunching or contracting part of their bodies, but having like the body relax and move as they self pleasure. So that could look like breathing, sound, movement. And when they feel like the energy of almost, wanted to come is there, like slowing the touch and trying to breathe that energy up. They can even like imagine it, like they're pulling it up and moving it through the body. So almost like they want to really bring that sexual energy through the heart and through the throat or to the top of the head, but at least until the heart. And so do extended self-pleasure while moving sexual energy. So instead of doing 5, 10, 15 minutes, I usually would say, you know, double it to start with and then keep doubling it. And, or, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes, that's great. And not always ejaculate, but find a good rhythm. Usually would say ejaculate half of what you used to. That's like a great starting point. So cool, one time you ejaculate, one time you don't. Because just stopping it is going to be, you know, too intense. And also, I don't think it's that beneficial to stop it necessarily. But I think the best would be to not overly do it and just keep that more energy in, which also will allow to have, you know, higher sex drive and stronger sexual energy and stronger erection too. Like so many men, sometimes men would come, you know, in the 60s and they have problem with having not a strong erection, and often they're just ejaculating too much. Like they're just ejaculating as they used to do in their 30s, but they have less energy. They can't run the marathon they were running when they were 30s, but they want to do the same number of ejaculation, and that doesn't work. So you know,
old bastards.
That will that will change as well, like throughout life. And I never saw anyone into Tantra that had problem with erection in their 60s, 70s or anything like that, unless there is like some medical complication.
Of course.
That's like a different story, but that would have a very strong erection because it would just reduce the number of ejaculation. And of course, they're quite connected with their bodies, so living a healthy lifestyle. And so that would still be, you know, very strong.
So
for those men that do kind of grow up with that kind of their self, I suppose, they feel that there's need to ejaculate regularly and often. I'm supposing it's different for everybody, but are there commonalities that you see amongst those men and why that kind of expression needs to manifest with them through this regular ejaculation?
So I would say that most of the people that feel like they need to ejaculate is because their energy is not flowing. Have a lot of sexual energy, but it's not flowing through their body. So they feel like it's building up. So they need to let it out. So as soon as they will learn how to make it flow, then they will, you know, feel less of that like attachment. But, you know, I wouldn't say like as a bold rule, oh, men should ejaculate once a week or once every month or once a day. As I said, like telling someone to ejaculate half of what they usually do is a great starting point. So even the same age, you know, someone could usually ejaculate twice a day and some people would ejaculate once a week, even, you know, let's say someone in their 30s or even once a month. So we kind of like just tell them to start to reduce it. That would be it. And if they cannot, if they have like a strong attachment, I would say is mainly because the energy is stuck. So it's to build up. They just need to let it out. And so it's about letting that move through them.
That recirculation.
There might be sometime a pattern, which is a coping mechanism to ejaculate and is for stress release.
Fascinating. And go for it, Tommy.
Yeah, no, it is really interesting. And you can, you know, one thing this is kind of really showing me speaking with you is, you know, just, you know, even back to what you were talking about with Stripe and Stripe, I mean, what you're doing is just like obviously so positive and needed in this world, you know, but when it's shoved down, people seek, in this example, sexual education elsewhere, which inevitably comes from porn, and it gives us a very, very male-dominated yet superficial, because I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having the male perspective, but it's obviously like only one side of the coin. And if it's just that side dominated, what is it? It's just, it's so means to ends, you know, in the mind. Quick, 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 change position. There's no feel into it. You don't get to feel the emotion from a video that is so edited, you know, and obviously aesthetic, you know, and it speaks to kind of some of the pain points you were mentioning about the women, you know, that you work with. Have just, they don't feel like they really want to have sex. Well, is it that they don't really want to have sex, or is it that the way that we've all been raised to believing what sex is isn't what feels right for them?
Yeah, I would say that that's most likely what's happening. Like, they have been trying to fit into standard that is not conducive of their pleasure. And as a result, they, you know, they feel a bit frozen inside because that is not satisfying. And maybe when they were a bit younger, there was like, you know, a very strong impulse, but that, you know, varied throughout our life and is a normal part of life. Like, you feel different from when you were a teenager. And you know, and then they just shut down that part of themselves. But often, you know, when I see, sometime I would have some women in their 40 or 50, and they come to me, they're like, oh my God, I just recently divorced. And then I met this lover and it just literally blew my mind. I'm finding myself wanting sex every day where I didn't want to have sex at all. And I'm feeling right. Confused, and I'm just remitting this part of myself. And can you help me understand? Wow. And, you know, because it was just, yeah, they were not receiving what they needed. And then, you know, they finally receive it and they feel a bit confused. Because, of course, they were not empowering that part of themselves. So it was so dependent on how they were treated. Rather, they could speak up because they never learned how to speak up. They never learned what would work for them. They just try to fit into standard and not listening to their body and what they need. And really, I would say that the key for a more pleasurable sex life and with higher satisfaction is a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. So kind of like thinking not only from the physical perspective, but having, you know, Tantra is a beautiful framework. So I might just share that of the five tantric bodies. So when you make love, you want to involve as much as you can of those bodies. So there is the physical, and pleasure in the physical could be, you know, like contraction, sounds, moaning. Then there is the mental, and mental, pleasure in the mental body could be felt in different ways. Like, it could be either fantasizing and, like, you know, disconnecting the body and going into fantasy, or you can even perceive pleasure just being totally in the moment, just like clear mind and total focus. It's so disruptive when the mind is like going all over the place. So when we can have that like clarity and spaciousness, it feels very pleasurable. And then the third body is the emotional body. And when pleasure hits the emotional body, we feel a deeper sense of connection. A sense of safety, being able to let go, and almost like life is a bit more magical. Like, sometime, you know, we can have very extensive lovemaking and we come out and we feel like just like the color are brighter. And so, like, that sense of openness in the heart. And then the fourth one is the energetic body. And it comes into place when we want to control ejaculation, for instance. One of the main things is moving sexual energy. And by the way, just if there is any men listening to this, controlling ejaculation is one of the easiest thing to do. Like, for instance, in my practice or for any tantric practitioner, and often get achieved between, you know, one session to few months. So if you're struggling with that, just knowing there is an answer for that. That's cool. So going back to the energy moving. So the energy moving, could add like layers, you know, of pleasure and could be felt as tingling, as warmth, as electricity or sweeping sensation. And then there is the fifth body, which for some people would not resonate. And that's totally fine. You can get to so much pleasure without it, is the spiritual body. So if someone is into spirituality and the connection with their soul is a big part of, you know, their life, they don't need to separate that from their sexual experience. like sacredness and sex can be lived at the same time. And, you know, it's a beautiful spiritual practice for me, making love in a very conscious way and connect with my soul as I do that. And so at least the four, main four, and then the fifth for anyone who resonates with it. So there is the physical, the mental, the emotional, the energetic, and the spiritual.
So, well, I've got a couple of questions about this box that you've just opened up here. So there are these five things that you've talked about. You know, obviously we live, many of us live in a very physical world. So that is something that we can all relate to on, you know, on a very tangible level. But unlocking the doors behind all of these other elements, can you take us through some of the practices and guidance that you give to some couples and individuals to be able to unlock, say, the more mental side of things or the spiritual side of things? Because there are obviously mental blockages that people have, and then once you add that into something as powerful as the bedroom, it can be a lot of, you know, barriers placed up mentally as well.
Yeah, of course. So it's a bit, it could, you know, just happen overnight. And it's also a journey that sometime is going to take more time, but I'm going to give you some tips into how to bring more of those bodies in someone lovemaking. So the physical one, it's the more obvious one. So we are going to go with the other one. So the mental one, just like simply even training the mind. So, you know how in meditation, sometimes we, at the beginning, train the mind into come back to presence or come back to a visualization or come back to a practice. And then doing it over and over again is kind of like strengthening that muscle, and then it becomes easier and easier and easier to have that awareness. So you can do the same as well with sex. So you can literally, just like it's a simple thing, anytime you realize your mind wanders, bring it back. And people sometimes just spend time, oh, what is my partner thinking? Or they're having a good time. Or maybe I should change position. Or women might wonder, how does my body look from this angle? You know, oh, maybe my pussy tastes bad. I hope my pussy tastes all right. And so, like, sometimes dwell in those thoughts, thinking they're not a big deal, but they're bringing us out of the moment. So,
yeah,
like having as an intention when we start the self-pleasure, the lovemaking, to not spend time in fantasies as much as we can, to not spend time in thinking of stuff, and really all the time coming back to presence, coming back to presence, coming back to presence, and strengthening that muscle. There are more things that can be done, but, you know, as a like quick tip right now here, so they have space as well to do the other one, it's a good. So it's one like good, you know, start with.
For people where even meditation is something that they haven't really explored that much of, I'm going to kind of dig a little bit deeper. When you say coming back to presence, can
So you can use three anchor. So you can come back to the sensation of the body. So feeling what your body is perceiving. You know, and that could be pleasure. If it's not pleasure, even the bed underneath you or the body of your partner underneath you or on you, or, you know, just the sensations, just sensation of the body. So you notice you're thinking about your boss or what you need to do next or what your partner might be thinking, and simply like, all right, just bring back the mind. How is my body feeling right now? And just doing it over and over again without so much judgment, but just simply come back. Another anchor could be the breath. So simply take a deep breath in and feel the air coming in and out. So that could be an anchor to the moment. And another anchor could be look in your partner's eye. So that as well could support you come back to presence. You know, be in the moment, just meet in their eye. If you are making love with someone else that is open to have that eye gaze. So that's why I'm giving three, so that people can see what best for them. And, you know, and go from one to the other or use mainly one, depending on what would be supportive.
That's great.
Yeah. That is really cool. It's interesting. I'm fascinated now about this this mode of using the mental side, the mental body. What was the phrase you used? Sorry, Eliza. The
Yeah, mental body is great.
mental body,
Yes.
mental body. Yeah, cool. Because I've often wondered. I remember reading a book about how there was a couple of people that just collated all this data about the kind of porn that men and women look up, and you can, for men it's relatively obvious, it's very physical, it's very aesthetic, but then with the women it was not only grounded in erotica and storytelling, but it often involved vampires, doctors, billionaires. It's kind of like that, and it speaks to that kind of dark. So this is obviously, from the heterosexual stance, but a dark harnessed aspect of a man, someone who is powerful but has that integrated so they don't lose control of that. You can just, obviously a vampire, something like that. And then it got me thinking about 50 Shades of Grey and why that was such a big book and so forth. But what it sounds like what you're speaking to there is that fantasy can almost act as a detriment when you're having sex with someone because it's taking you out of the present moment. So what is going on in terms of the feminine or the female side with as to why erotica and storytelling is so alluring? And then how can that aid them in their relational sexual practice if it does?
Can you repeat the question? I think
Yeah.
like I got the first bit, but then like the last bit, what you want, what like the actual
Sure.
question.
So I'm kind of like thinking as I'm going here. So I don't really know what I'm asking. Why, we'll start with a more basic question. Why is erotic novels, why are they so big for feminine sexuality?
Yeah, I think like that. Like a more holistic approach really works well for women as to really activate fully their pussy. It's kind of like energetically for the Taoist tradition that like energy need to flow through their heart and then going as well to the yoni. So it's kind of like going like that. And for the Taoist tradition, for the male perspective, is going from the genitals all the way up. So almost like if, I mean, we're really like, it's a bit stiff. It's not always like, that, but the masculine arousal start from the genitals and moves through the body. And the feminine arousal would like be better if it's like go through, connection, the mind, the heart. And then it really sets the pussy on fire. And I would say, that the story is like taking more side of the picture in that. And so it will activate their sexuality more.
That makes
And,
sense.
when both parties, so let's imagine that even not necessarily like as a heterosexual, couple, but often there is like that attraction with one that has like a feminine arousal and one that has like a more masculine arousal. And so when both like they often attract each other and when they both connect on multiple level, then the pleasure they feel is higher anyway. So it's not like, or, the porn example that you were giving is the most pleasurable things for men. Like, when they do find like tantra and connect their heart, connect their mind, connect their purpose, feel their sexual energy moving through them. The pleasure they can feel is a lot, like bigger. So it's almost like, but for the female body, it's hard to just kind of like activate that like that. Moreover, maybe for the clitoral stimulation, but not for like a cervical orgasm. How at the beginning I said that every woman can have different type of orgasm. So every woman can have a cervical orgasm, but it's going to be hard to have that approach to sex and get there.
Interesting.
So. Even like for instance, the cervix is connected with a part of the brain that is very emotional. And if the female body who is experiencing touching their cervix is has like the emotional side shut down, then they're shutting down the pleasure, They influence each other. So as they receive pleasure through the cervix, that part of the brain wants to open up. But if they're also that part of the brain feel like really shut down and they feel contracted and distanced from their emotion, they're also blocking the pleasure. So, you know, when someone want to learn how to have a cervical orgasm, I'm like, great, great. Let's start with bringing your heart into sexual experience. Let's start to, you know, help you become more aware of your energetic body. And then it will be easier for you to have a cervical orgasm. So we need to kind of like go through that to unlock it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. Paula, you can't help but feel resentful that we didn't learn any of this at school. Hey, you just learned.
Well, this is a mandatory part of secondary school education, I would say.
Absolutely. All we get is, what is a vagina? What is a penis? You know, it doesn't really go beyond.
Well, I feel like a lot of schools have kind of put up the barriers in front of like female, like genitalia representation. But I'm really keen to, I'm aware of the time, but I'm also really keen to explore the other aspects of Tantra. And please let us know if you need a run, Eliza, as well.
No, I'm fine. I'm glad that you really like this, and I'm always
happy dogs.
And we can, you know, dive deep into some, you know, aspect another time as well, more in depth. But yeah, please, do the question. What would you like to know? So they're like, how to bring more of the heart in it, because we stop at the mental, or
I was going to touch on just the other, like I'm keen in just exploring the foundational principles of Tantra. Being the physical, the mental, maybe we can just touch on a couple of others if possible, unless you wanted to go down any path, Tommy.
No,
I'm keen to follow along.
Right. So we did, I give a tip for the mental body earlier with the three anchor of breath, eye gazing and sensation of the body. Now let's see how to bring more of the emotional body in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, for this one, I'm going to give another like few tips. And so someone can do what resonates the most. So they can simply do some self-compassion before masturbating consciously, or say loving things to their partner and receive as well that kind of love from their partner. So even just speaking those loving things and receiving them will support kind of like starting opening their heart more. Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of that arousal, saying as well, loving things and compassionate things to yourself, which to say those compassionate things, you need to activate your heart. And so mean it as you say them. Mm-hmm. So for instance, that could be, you know, if I'm making love with myself, like that I love myself and I accept myself and it's okay if I do mistake and it's a normal part of being a human, and I release myself from any need of being perfect, that I'm perfect as I am. So this is an example of like self-compassion, and I might do it beforehand. You know, I had to close my eyes to just drop into my heart to, you know, to let my heart speak. And then as I make love with myself, I will say, you know, like, I love myself and I want to give to myself and I accept myself as I am. So as I'm aroused, I'm saying things that need to activate my heart to be said. And if you're with a partner, like, I love you, like, you're so special to me. You know, it's an honor to be making love with you. And you can say also those things, you know, like, it doesn't need to be the love of your life. Like, you know, I really care about you. Like, you're a wonderful woman. You're a wonderful man. It's an honor to be in this intimate space with you. Like, those things can be said without the other person need to be the person of your life. So this one, like, you know, advice. Another one could be, if someone is really visual, to literally visualize they are like a light from their heart, like expanding, or the light, like the energy from their genitals connecting to their heart. So kind of like visually is literally like visualizing the energy coming in and open up and seeing their like heart shining. If someone is really visual or has done a lot of, you know, visualization in their meditation, that might support, or like feel them, the visualization between your heart and your partner heart when you make love. So just feel that connection, like imagine like a beam of light connecting you with their heart. Mm-hmm. And another one when you're making love with someone else is looking in their eyes and see the human like in front of you, not a piece of meat, not a, like a human, you know, like yeah. their heart, their whole side, like feeling them. So those are three things that, you know, someone can do that can be supportive of bringing more of their heart.
Amazing.
I love that.
Sexual experience.
I can imagine that just looking into someone's eyes might be really tough for people. Is that, can you speak to that? Can you tell us why?
Yeah, well, it's very exposing. So I feel like through the eyes, it almost feel like they can really look inside. And sometimes it's scary to be seen yeah. fully. And you know, at times has been maybe unsafe in their life to be seen. And so that brings up that sense of unsafety. And so it could be really hard for some people. And I often, you know, get couple or people to look in their eyes in the mirror or to look in each other's eyes and say loving things to one another. And if it's really hard for someone, I would take like breaks of like closing the eyes when you feel safe again, open, and then just supporting them feeling safe, like you're safe to open, it's safe to be seen.
Mm.
Like, you know, and then the partner like saying something loving and then they close their eyes, so slowly opening, not kind of like abruptly coming in like a kamikaze, but just like slowly stretching.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've participated in workshops in the past where without the sexual aspect, but just being like part of the facilitation of it was simply just gazing into each other's eyes and getting into partners and being able to do that. And there's something incredibly confronting at the beginning of the yeah. process and then incredibly disarming. And you see yourself in the person eventually, and there's an eventuation where if you hold that linger for long enough, you really are just the same person, and there's similarities and this connection that unveils as a result of that is truly magical. It's pretty remarkable.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's very, very powerful, and in the workshop when I do it or in my one-on-one, I often see that, yeah, people would cry or feel very emotional and be very touched by looking their eyes in the mirror.
Mm.
Into someone else's eyes as well, you know, with the guidance of like, you know, it's safe to be seen. Just let yourself be seen fully mm. and just kind of like helping them peeling those layers and, you know, I'm feeling that connection. So it's, and, you know, tying that with the bodies, I think is one of the most powerful way to bring the spiritual body in.
Mm.
You need to look in someone else's eyes and try to feel their soul. And, you know, as you were mentioning earlier, kind of like feeling how you are one, is the same person. And, and being in that way, like that gaze into the lovemaking. And, you know, it's kind of like the difference from, you know, sitting around and meditation. It's almost like where you put your awareness, right? So you can sit around and just like, all right. And then, you know, the difference of someone meditating is like where they're putting their awareness. So like it might not look different when you have soul sex, but that awareness as you look into your eye, in, you know, the other person's eye is in seeing their soul and you're being touched on a deep level. Mm. And so, yeah, and my really support, for instance, like when, you know, when I do meditation retreat, with my partner, we will have a, you know, an hour or two of lovemaking a day. And, that will be in the schedule and it will be part of our spiritual practice as well as, is really a great way to have soul sex because we spend so much time meditating and connecting with our soul. And then we bring the depth in the lovemaking. That's been one of the most touching lovemaking we've done sometime in meditation retreat in the midst of it.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Well, look, Eliza, we're very conscious of the time. We would absolutely love to have you back on the show myriad times as we continue this endeavor. And we very much look forward to it. Yeah, for sure. I was hoping to ask you a final question just to kind of round things off. For anyone really new to Tantra, sexual energy, just any of the concepts that we've discussed today, what's like one piece of advice that you could give them just as they're opening their journey?
Yeah, so it would be to try to, as much as they can, let go of preconceived idea how sex look like and explore how sex look like for them. So, you know, try to let go of, oh, I need to look a certain way, penetration must be involved. And just start asking, what do I want? What do I like? What feel good to do next? So just simply understanding a bit more their sexuality by, with a curiosity, start to look, you know, within.
Love that. That's fantastic. Pete, where can people find you? What's coming up for you on the horizon?
I think one of the best way of finding me, probably just check out my YouTube channel. There's so many videos on like what's Tantra, how to unlock cervical orgasm, learn how to squirt. So they're like, there are a lot of amazing topic. And if they just type Eliza Caro, like ELISACARO on YouTube, they will find me.
Brilliant.
Then from there, they can find my Instagram, they can find my website, they can see my offerings, and I can receive a lot of value because I feel like my YouTube is like...
Brilliant. I'll be signing up.
Same.
That's awesome. I can't wait to learn how to squirt.
I was just about to make a joke about that. I can't wait to have a cervical orgasm.
Thank you so much for your time, Eliza. It's been so wonderful, and can't wait to have you back on the show.
That sounds great. Can't wait to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Catch you later, guys.